You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Turn to the book of Exodus. If you don't have your Bibles, we have them on the screen. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. It is the second book of the Bible. Last week, if this is your first time here, you can catch up with anything that is preached on the weekend. We have a podcast. It's the City Place Church audio podcast on iTunes or Podbean, and you can catch back up. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time in review, but there are sermon notes on your seat, and I'll walk through what we went through last week, and then I'll end. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about running with the giants, and we've been pulling great men and women out of the Bible and really just been looking at their life and seeing how it can parallel to ours. And in the middle of teaching, we landed on just a couple of thoughts that in the Word of God, it seemed like every single person were breaking a barrier. They were pushing past something so that God's purpose and God's plan can become more evident in someone else's life. And we landed literally as a foundational statement in the series where we said, it's never been about us. Never been about you. It's never been about me. It's always been about God's purpose, God's plan, God's people for God's glory. And so we really have been preaching around the vision of our church. We say we build dreams, ignite faith, establish leaders that win the lost for the kingdom of God. And really, when we talk about building dreams, what we're talking about is we're not talking about getting things. We're talking about the activation of God's voice in our life, which then reveals his purpose, which then allows us to dream. And so God's voice being activated in our life really allows us to dream beyond our capacity and begin to think, wow, can I really do that? Can I really be that? And that's when we push into God's presence even more. And so last week we talked about breaking barriers, and we said the first barrier, and you'll find them on your notes, was being able to actually hear God's voice. And we started in Exodus chapter 3 where Moses he's out in a field somewhere, and when he turns around, this bush is burning. Like, it's burning, just straight fire. And as he goes to look, he hears a voice say, hey, don't look this way. Take off your shoes because the place where you're standing right now is holy ground. It was God's voice talking to Moses. And he just begins to tell Moses all of these things that he wants to do. Moses, I'm going to use you to change people's lives. I'm going to use you to bring deliverance to the people of Israel. I'm going to use you. We paused there, and then we went over to Exodus chapter 33, where then we find Moses talking to God, and Moses is really bold. The Bible says that he goes out to the tabernacle, and he's spending time with God, and the cloud would come down, and God would speak to Moses face-to-face, kind of like the person you're sitting beside. That close proximity, face-to-face, God would speak to him. And in this dialogue, Moses says something really bold to God. He says, now, you tell me that I'm supposed to lead this people and I'm supposed to get them from A to B, but you're not telling me who's coming with me. And he says, now, if your presence is going with me, you need to let me know. And God says, my presence is going to go with you. I promise you. Moses doesn't stop there. He says, now, if your presence is going to go, that's good. But I also need to know your plans and I want to see your glory. And God says, okay. And so when you finish through chapter 33 and 34, it says that God actually says, meet me in the morning. I'll come down and get you. I'm going to lift you up beside me, and then I'm going to show you who I am. And that's where we ended last week. And I gave the church three foundational thoughts of what it's going to take for us and what we need to be thinking about when we're talking about hearing God's voice. And today I'm going to finish by giving you the barriers that stop us from hearing God's voice. Is that all right if we do that? Here, write this down. The first thing is that we need presence, not just practice. We need the presence of God, not just practice. We need the presence of God, not just practice. In the burning bush part of the story, God tells Moses, he says, don't worry about the bush, focus on my voice. Don't worry about the bush, focus on my voice. My voice is the most important thing, not the flamboyant aspect of what you're seeing right now. So many times in the church environment, we can come to church, which is great. We can come to church, but we can lose sight of the fact that we're in church because we want God's presence. So we can practice this moment right now. I come to church, I go back home. I come to church, I go back home. But we can all literally be in here today and experience nothing. That's the practice of church. Or we can come into church and say, God, I need your presence, and then we leave differently. Are you with me? So God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 3, and you have to read the story because I don't want to waste all of your time. You know what I mean? We all want to eat lunch, right? God tells him, he says, don't focus on the burning bush. Focus on my voice. When Moses gets to Exodus 33 and he's taking a long journey with God and it's been up and down, he's mad at people, God's showing him miracles, he still says, the first moment that you changed my life wasn't good enough. I want to see how close I can get to you. In Exodus 33, he's already talking to God face to face, but Moses still says, there's got to be more. Can I tell you, you walked in here this morning and there's got to be more. There's got to be more than just the practice of the weekend. I'm here 52 weeks out of the year. But there's got to be more even in my private life when it comes to my relationship with God. So when we're focusing on being able to hear God's voice and pushing past the barrier, we have to focus on the fact that we need God's presence, not just the practice. Are you with me? Here's the second thing. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. Look at this verse, John chapter 9. It says, finally, they turned again to the blind man. It's on your notes. What have you to say about him? He replied. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. There's a blind man who comes in contact with Jesus. And people are like, oh, what really happened? Why did this, you know, who was this dude that did this? Should he have done this? He did it on the wrong day. And this blind man says, look, let me just say this to you. You're focusing on the practice of the matter, and you're trying to gain some sort of explanation of why and how this happened. What I'm telling you is that yesterday you saw me. I couldn't see you. I was blind. I'm talking to you now, and now I can see. What more do you need? We don't need an explanation. We need an encounter. I don't know about y'all. I love everybody else's stories, but sometimes I want to tell my own. Anybody else? Like, I hear everyone's stories, but sometimes I want to tell my own. I want to have a story of changing the world. I want to have a story of seeing this. I want to have a story of my friends getting saved. I want to have a story of my life being changed. I don't always just want to lean on your story. I'm going to cheer you on. But sometimes I want to have my own encounter. So we need an encounter with God, not just an explanation. Because I don't know if you're like me sometimes. I can tell people, I went to church this week. That's just an explanation. But what happened? What happened when you came on March the 17th in your life? Not just the babies that were dedicated. What happened on the Sunday that you came to church? When you came in, knowing that you were struggling with something, knowing that you needed God to do something, what happened when you came? Are you with me? I'm just catching you up. We need encounter more than we need explanation. God is real, and he's waiting to encounter all of us. Here's the third thing. We need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5 says this, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching, this is Paul talking, were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Do you know what Paul's saying here? Pastor Damon's preaching today, and what he says might sound good to you. But if there is no power of God active in your life, what he said to you was just a really good speech. Are you with me? It might sound really good. It might challenge me and make me smarter. But if there is no power of God active in the place, you just came and did a church practice. So we need the presence of God. We need an encounter with God, and we need the power of God. And these are all the ways where we begin to see God speak to our life. So let me give you some barriers. Let me give you some barriers this morning. Here's the first barrier. The first barrier of encountering God is hoarding. Write that down. The first barrier of encountering God is hoarding. How many of y'all have ever seen that show, Hoarders? Don't raise your hand if you're a hoarder. If you came to my garage right now, our house looks good. But if you go in our garage, it'd be like this. What we looking for? Like last night, we were preparing for baby dedication. And I said, babe, don't we have some folders so we can put them in? And she said, yes, we got some folders. And then she said, but hold on. I know they're in there somewhere. That's what she told me. I was like, I'll find it. She was like, No. I'll go in there with you. It was the garage. So, like, honestly, when you come to our house, you'll be like, oh, this is a nice house. But what you don't know is everything lies in the garage. Seriously, I'm not certain about this, but I feel like the painter that helped us paint might be in the garage. Because every time I go in there, I hear stuff moving. And I'm thinking, we never did see him again. He could be in the garage. Anybody else like that where you got stuff? Your desk? Well, hoarding. Hoarding blocks God's voice. Here's what I mean. It's the frustration. It's pride. It's being ungrateful. It's the selfish side of us where it's all about us. It's the things that we just stockpile. The frustration, somebody did this to me. Well, what happens is you just put that in the garage. Can't believe that happened. You put it in the garage. It's the, you know what? I don't need to pray today. And then it becomes 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. And what you're doing is you're just piling in. And it's not that you're not loving God. It's just that you're a little bit more apathetic. And you just pile it high, and you pile it high. And before you know it, if you're like me, you're like, I've never heard God speak. Or God's not speaking to me. God, are you talking? And he's like, I'm talking, but I'm stuck in the garage. He's like, you're trying to find me, but you got to get through all of this junk. You're trying to get to the folder. I'm talking, but you can't hear me. I'm screaming and I'm yelling. It sounds like I'm screaming and I'm yelling, but I'm not. That is good acting. That's from California, y'all. Seriously. Look, James chapter 1 says this, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message of God. Watch this now. It says, humbly accept the message of God. If I can accept the message of God, that means that I should be hearing clearly. Now, look the precursor. It says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and. So first part, get rid of the junk. Have a yard sale. Let somebody else pick it up. The Bible says that if you have a burden, give it to Jesus and he'll swap out his because it's lighter. So the only one that can handle the filth and the evil in our life is Jesus. Let him buy it from you. In fact, he already did. When he died on the cross, the Bible said that he paid the price for you, not knowing you, but knowing that you would have this moment. Knowing that you would have this moment. He had you on his mind. He had you on his mind. You and I may not know him then, but he knew you. Get rid of the filth. And then it says, watch, humbly accept the message of God, which means now since you've moved it out of the way, it says now you can hear a little bit clearly. And what you have to do is plant it in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your soul. The minute we can begin to hear God's voice, it says, don't worry, it'll set you straight. But you know what's in your life, you have to kick it aside. How many of y'all have ever asked God to take something away? I love how the author here says, why don't you get rid of it? That's scary. Because I want God to do it, and I get so mad at God. Why don't you take this away? And he's like, will you just clean out the garage? I'm going to let y'all know when we're having a yard sale. Clean out the garage. You know what's in there. You know what you watch. You know what you listen to. You know what comes out your mouth. You know who you're mad at. You know what you've done wrong. I'm not here to beat you over the head. What I'm saying is just get rid of it. If Jesus paid the price, let him have it. Jesus, you bought this. You take it. Are you with me? Hoarding. Ephesians chapter 4 says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God forgave you. Some of us walked in here today and we got some straight up bitterness, offense. Let it go so that you can hear God's voice clearly. Colossians 3:8 says, but now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, and filthy speech. You know what's clogging the house. You know what you're hoarding to. Let it go. Here's the second thing. Distraction. Distraction. I wrote this down. Sometimes we're busy for busy's sake. I don't know if y'all like me. Sometimes saying the word busy is kind of like an out for adding something else. Yeah, hey, y'all want to go grab something to eat? You know, ooh, I'm busy this week. So I use it as a trump card sometimes. It's like, oh, I'm busy. And so what it does is it can block relationships or it can get us out of doing something. You know what? I didn't spend a lot of time with God this week because I was busy. I didn't go to small group because I was busy. I didn't come into God's house because I was just busy. And what happens is those things become a distraction. What we're really saying is I'm distracted. I got a lot going on, so I'm distracted. And so we spend a lot of time being busy, but really what it's causing is distraction from being able to hear God's voice. I'm busy. You're busy. We're all busy. But is that busyness really distraction? Let's look at it practically. If I work 70 hours a week and I see my wife, when I wake up to leave, am I distracted or am I busy? I'm busy, right? I've got to do what I have to do for the family. But is that 70 hours really the healthy thing? Have I really slowed down and asked myself, am I being able to really communicate clearly with her, or am I distracted by what has taken my attention? A good thing can become a bad thing when we get distracted. Y'all all right? I'm trying to make it practical. I wrote this down too. These are just my notes. The why we do something has been replaced with the what we have to do. Our why sometimes has been because I want my family to advance. But then it becomes the what because they offer the overtime. I did this because this was my purpose. And then something's added and it's because that's what I want to do. So sometimes we forget about the why, and it turns into the what we feel like we have to do. And all those things create distractions. Here, let me read a verse to you. In Luke chapter 10, it says, and she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. It says in this story, Jesus comes over to Martha and Mary's house. He's coming to hang out with her, to spend time with the girls and the family. And it says that when Jesus walked to the door, it says that they answered the door. Martha answered the door, say, what's up, Jesus? Hold on, I got some chicken on the stove. And she went over, and she just went back in the kitchen, and she started working. And Mary, the Bible says, comes in and be like, oh, my gosh, Jesus, how are you doing? And it says that she just begins to worship Jesus. Martha, the Bible says, you have to read the story. It says that Martha goes, Mary, what you doing? You know we've been cooking that chicken all day. Jesus is 10 minutes late. We running behind. You know he showed up late. Girl, you better get in that kitchen. We got to fix this table. Why are you just sitting up there talking to him? Will you stop doing that and let's go? We got to get this table made. I'm in the kitchen all by myself. You know we've been in there all day. You're going back and forth, answering the telephone. You're going here and there. Stop it. Why are you focusing on him? You know we need to get this done. People won't come over and the food not ready. You got to read the story, I'm telling you. It said it just like that. Similar to the way that Tyshia came running to me. I'm stopping, girl. I'm stopping. So she goes over to Jesus and say, Mary, she done slowed down. You know, Jesus, we were trying to prepare for you. I don't know why you came 10 minutes late, Lord Jesus. But I'm just running back and forth. And Jesus says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're running over here. You don't realize that I personally came to spend time with you. in the busyness of what you have to do versus the why you were doing it. You were setting this atmosphere because we were going to hang out. But in the busyness of things, you have to get it done. You have to spend time. You have to go to church. You have to pray. You have to work. And you're forgetting about the fact that everything should involve me. I'm right in front of your face. I could be at anybody else's house. You wanted my presence. You wanted an encounter. You wanted the power. Now, since I'm here, you're too busy. How many of us are really too busy? Can I tell you that Jesus is in the building today? I'm serious. He's in the building today. I know it. We've prepared. We've prayed. The atmosphere was already set. He's already in the building. And some of us will be sitting in here alone. Our minds are still thinking, when I get home, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Oh, the baby's crying. Oh, I got to go change. Did I leave okay, did I turn it off? Oh, my goodness, what I got to do? I got to do. And Jesus is like, hey, you asked me to come, right? I'm here. You're distracted. It's crazy to think that we can be hoarding stuff, and maybe that's not you, but maybe you're distracted this morning. I don't want you to be distracted this morning. Give yourself the next few minutes. I'm almost done. I'm not going to keep you long. My mama's church used to keep me long. I vowed I ain't doing that no more. I got to be home in time to see the game. It's March Madness. The Lord will watch with me. I'm just kidding. My mom's sitting there like, boy, you know, when I get home, she going to crucify my flesh. I promise you. I know it. But we can't be distracted. Here's the third thing. Immaturity. Immaturity. This is when we look the part sometimes, but our behavior doesn't match. We've for some of us, if this is your first time being in church, I try not to communicate with a lot of Christianese because I grew up in church. But what most people don't know is that some of my behavior when I was growing up in church, all the way up until the time I really had my own encounter with God, was really foolishness. It was foolishness because I just thought I can do two things. I thought I can love God and act whatever way I wanted, but it wasn't until I had an encounter with God to where I was like, oh, I grew up in church, but I really don't know him like that. And even now, all of us in this room are still maturing in him. Because when we feel like we have matured in him, that's when he's like, you're hoarding information. You're hoarding. Because you think you've arrived, and so you got to get that pride out of the way. But here's what Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says. It says, for we ourselves were also once, not still, you were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures that you wanted to do, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. This is past tense. He says, now listen, you guys have gotten over that. This is what you used to be, but now you're in a place where you can receive clearly from the Lord. So we have hoarding, we have distraction, and then we have immaturity. And here the author says, this was once your behavior. Let's not focus on this no more. Let's mature in who God has called us to be. Let's remember that it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. I wrote this down, and then we're wrapping up. So worship team, y'all can come on back up. Barriers break through bold expectation. Barriers break through bold expectation and preparation. Barriers break through bold expectation and preparation. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, but the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, they hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So they hear it, their heart is ready, they maximize what God has said, they hold on to it, they're not going to let it go, and they hold on to it until they see what God said takes shape. So we break barriers by having an expectation that God's going to speak to me, and then we're going to prepare that what God said will take place. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. Back to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, God shows himself in a bush. He says, don't focus on the flamboyant. Listen to my voice. Through the ups and downs, if you read all of Exodus, Moses is being taken. He's frustrated. He's angry. He's offended, and he's going back to God, and God's dealing with him, and he's having to lead people. Exodus 33 says, you brought me out here. I'm looking at you face to face, but there's got to be more. This cannot be as far as I've ever gone in you. I've seen miracles. They've been done through my hand. I've encountered your presence like no one else has ever seen before, but there's got to be more. He says, let your presence go with us, because I don't just need a practice. He says, I need an encounter with you that's never been done before, because I don't just need an explanation. He says, your power has to weigh more than your words. Show me who you are. And when you read 33 and 34, it says that God puts him beside him. And it says that when God walked by, he said, I am the Lord strong. I'm the Lord mighty. I'm the Lord gracious. I'm so merciful. He said, I fulfill my word to 1,000 generations. And if they're out of line, he says, I deal with them. He says, but you just take a look at who I am. And he says, everything that I promised you, you're going to accomplish. And it was because Moses said, everything that's in me can't stay. I've got to push closer to you. I can't be distracted by these people. When I'm in your presence, I've got to know how far I can go. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want anything. I don't want to hold on to anything. And God, where I am right now, I want to grow deeper and deeper in you. I don't want to live at what could seem like immaturity. I want to grow more and more in you.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.